UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our first guest to start February off is David from the UK, sharing his up close and personal UFO encounters. David, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Bristol in the United Kingdom.
That's correct.
A lovely part of the UK, just an hour away from me. Now, David, you have some encounters to share with our listeners. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, sure. So, for me, I am an experiencer, and my experiences started when I was 13 years old. I was asleep in my bedroom at home, and I got woken up by a buzzing sound, a humming noise, and a kind of vibration. So I was lying in bed and I could hear this hum and I could feel the vibration across my skin. And I was thinking to myself, you know, where is that coming from? So I got up and I looked out the window of my bedroom, and I'm on looking through, and I could see in the distance a round black craft going from my right to left as I looked out the window. And I was looking at the craft thinking, wow, you know, what is that? And as I thought, you know, what is that? The craft stopped and headed straight towards the window of my house. So it's coming towards me, and as it's getting closer and closer and closer, my first thought was, okay, so UFOs are real, because this was incredible, really. It was totally black, gloss black. It was Christmas pudding shape, so it was round, apart from the bottom, which was more flattened. And as it got closer and closer and closer, you could see the black was really, really glossy and liquid. And as it got literally outside my window, it was just above the rooftops, and below the craft was what I can only describe as lava. So the whole bottom of the craft was like lava. It was golden red and some black, as if you were looking at a volcano, the lava coming down. That's exactly what I saw. So it got closer and closer, and I'm looking at this lava, and I thought to myself, wow, I wonder how they drive that. And as I literally said those words, a nanosecond later, my view changed from looking at the craft through my window externally to looking at the craft internally. So that my whole vision was looking inside the craft. And to the right of my view, there were three beings in suits with helmets. And there were three chairs just behind them, and they were stood up. And I was looking at these people thinking, oh my God, you know, I can't believe I'm seeing this. And really sort of fascinated by what I was looking at. And I heard this voice in my head say, I thought you wanted to see the controls. I went, oh yeah, you're right. And as I took my view from them across the inside of the craft to the left, you could actually look through the walls of the craft. So as I went, as my eyes moved, I noticed you could see straight through the walls of the craft. So I was looking at the view again, even though I was inside the craft. And then to the left, there was this sort of square panel, rectangular shape, full of light. I didn't know what it was. And then my view closed down, and I was looking at the craft again from the outside, and it started to drift away. And I remember thinking, I wonder where they're going next. And again, in my head, I heard, we're going to explore. And off it went. And that was, you know, the very first experience that I had, which was, you know, totally crazy. And the, you know, you kind of think to yourself, was I dreaming? You know, was that real? You know, what just happened? And what did happen, and I know it's real because of this, is that when my view changed from outside to inside, it was almost like a switch was flicked off into my in my head, and I became very, very perceptive. So, I had a very strong sixth sense after that event. So, for example, I once guessed a coin toss correctly 32 times. And I would have got the 33 times as well, but the people I was with who I was doing it with looked at me as if I was completely crazy and mad and, you know, what on earth was going on. So I got it wrong on purpose just to show that I was normal. But I actually got it right 32 times in a row, which, you know, the odds on that is literally crazy. And lots of things have happened since. Also, about 2 years later, I was thinking about the experience, and I was a very local news agent, and the newspaper at the time was called the 14 Times, with the most weird and wonderful articles in it. And I was flicking through the magazine, and someone had a pencil sketch of exactly the same craft with the lava, and there was a title saying, "Has anyone seen this craft?" So I knew instantly that I wasn't just the only person who'd seen it. So, and there have been since then, I've found other people who've seen lava at the bottom of craft. So I am sure 100% that genuinely happened. So I was quite young when that happened. And fast forward some 22 years, something like that. So I'm now in my mid-40s, and I'm at home, and I'm watching TV. I'm alone. And all of a sudden, a basketball-sized plasma sphere just materialized in my front room. It was white and blue, and it was about waist high off the ground, but basketball size. And I'm looking at this thing thinking, what is that? You know, that is just crazy. And it started coming towards me. So I'm sat on the sofa. It materialized in the middle of the room, and it's waist high, and it's coming closer and closer and closer. And I'm pushing myself into the corner of the sofa, and it goes straight past me. If it was intelligent, it kind of felt intelligent. It looked intelligent. It was like scanning the room. It was really odd. And went past me, and it went through the wall into the kitchen behind. And I remember sat there thinking, you know, what was that? Am I going to go in the kitchen and follow it? No chance. Anyway, I left for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then I went into the kitchen. It had gone. And that was really, really odd. And I have no idea what that was. Fast forward to 6 years ago, I was 44 years old, and I'm in my garden. And I'm pottering around. It's a bright, sunny day, blue sky, and I get this overwhelming feeling to look up, absolutely huge. So I look up, and about 100 foot away, and maybe 80 to 100 foot high off the ground was the white Tic Tac craft. And there, looking at this craft, thinking, this is crazy. And it was Tic Tac shaped, so the classic Tic Tac. It was end on end, so it's pointing upwards. There was no front on it at all. It was totally white. And there's a red chair in the center, or just above the center. And if you imagine you were sat on that chair and your foot was resting on some kind of platform, then the person in that craft was sat where you would be, where your feet would be. And I was totally in awe. And the craft was angled slightly to the right as I look. And the guy in the craft was looking to their right, or their left, I guess, my right, towards the school. And he was totally focused, not looking at me, and I was looking at the craft. And I think I was looking at it for what felt like 5 or 10 minutes. And at some point in my mind, I must have said, wow, I just can't believe I'm seeing this craft. And at that point was when he turned his gaze and looked at me. I should say that the Tic Tac was end on the end, and just below the center on the left and right of the Tic Tac were two long rectangles. I can't even imagine, they were as long as a scaffolding pole, but they were white and they were shifting. They were vibrating very, very quickly, as if they were kind of stabilizers for the main craft. They were not attached, so you could see the blue sky around the rectangles, and you could see they were not attached. But either side of the craft were these two long rectangles, and they were definitely part of the craft. I mean, there's no doubt. And then he looked towards me. And just as he looked towards me, I could hear in my mind, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I enjoy the sun. And then his gaze, if you like, behind a visor, is wearing a suit and a helmet, was directly at me, and I could really feel his eyes looking at me. And at that point, I felt an overwhelming sense of mind control or mind eradication. You know, he was trying to erase my memory, is what he was trying to do. And I took complete exception to it. I don't really know why. I mean, all this is just, you know, never thought this would happen in a million years. I'm looking at this craft who's looked at me, and then he's trying to erase my memory. And I really started fighting back mentally, saying, no chance you're going to erase my memory. This has happened to me before. You're not the first person that I've met. And I started just instinctively replaying all of the past experiences that I'd had to this person as he was trying to erase my memory. And it was kind of a battle going on. During this battle, if you like, he said to me, go into the house. I'm just doing research. Please go into the house. And I said, yeah, I'm happy to go back in the house, but you're not going to erase my memory. And we're having this kind of this mental fight. Anyway, so I moved back in towards the house. And if you like, I'm being pushed mentally in the house, but I'm still fighting him off. And I said to him, look, I've met somebody like you before, and my biggest regret was that we never really spoke. They kind of came, I looked in the craft, and then they went. What I'd really like to happen is, why don't you park your craft in my garden? I know this sounds crazy, but it's absolutely true. Why don't you park your craft in my garden and come in and let's have a chat? You know, I'd love to know more about you and everything. Anyway, pushes me in. I'm back in the house, and I have no idea what happened next. So I'm in some kind of daze, I guess. I'm stood up. I'm kind of lost, dizzy, for lack of a better word, and all of a sudden I hear this, and that gets me back to my senses again, and it's really, really loud, straight over the house, and it was a fighter jet. So I've come back outside, and I've looked in the distance, and you can see the jet was banked, so its cockpit was facing me, if you like, as it's doing a big circle. The craft had gone, and I could just hear this roar in the background. You know, it was totally amazing. And you have to remember, this is, you know, some 6 years ago, and I never knew that a UFO could be white. I mean, it used to be silver or black or with lights on or something. This is the middle of the day, and it's white. So it's totally crazy. And then this craft, you know, disappears. as the jet comes along. So, you know, that was quite an amazing experience. And about 4 weeks after that, I was kind of, you know, life goes back to normality. I'm dying to tell people, but, you know, I don't want to be known as Mr. UFO or some sort of nutcase who thinks he's seen a UFO outside his house. So I don't really tell anybody because, you know, I'm not really sure what to tell them. So I'm in my house and it's 7 a.m. and I know it's 7 a.m. because the alarm's going off and it's time for work. So I reach over to hit the alarm. But as I reach over, I accidentally knock a glass of water off my bedside table and it's gone everywhere. And then there's some sockets just below the table and I know they've gone over these electrical sockets. So I'm in bed. I'm going, oh my God, well, you know, I've just knocked this water over. The alarm's still going off. It's like, oh, you know, terrible morning sort of thing. Jump out of bed, run into the hallway where there's a towel cupboard, pick up a load of towels, turn around, enter the bedroom. And as I enter the bedroom, in front of me, there's that person from The Craft. And it was a mind-blowing experience. So I've entered the bedroom. There's a bed in front of me, and he's on the other side of the bed. So we're close. I mean, I'm seeing him close up. He's not wearing a helmet. And that's the first time I saw somebody not wearing a helmet. And he is greeny, gray, humanoid, muscular, but not overly muscular. Same height as me, about 6'1", 6'2". And he's looking down at the water where I just built it. So he wasn't looking at me as I entered. And of course, I'm looking at this being in my bedroom, totally rabbit in headlights, couldn't say a word, couldn't move, and I was so much in shock. And I noticed straight off the bat that he was wearing some kind of apparatus. And it's really difficult to explain, but basically, if you imagine four hula hoops of cloud, or three hula hoops of cloud, he had a hula hoop of cloud around his kind of chest, he had a hula hoop of cloud around his waist, and he had a hula hoop of cloud around his kind of knees, chin area, which I took to be some kind of camouflage or some kind of, I don't know, apparatus, which enabled him to get where he was. And he looked male, by the way. That's why he's a him. So he looks at me. I look at him. I want to say something, but literally nothing will come out. I'm in so much shock. And he just turns, walks through the cabinet, through the wall, on the second floor of the building, and straight out. I've got all these towels in my hands. I look at him, and the last thing I see is the cloud that basically follows him through the wall. So I physically saw him walk through the wall, and then the last thing I saw was the cloud followed him through the wall. And, you know, I'm totally gobsmacked. Chuck the towels down. Didn't bother going. In fact, I don't even think I went to that side of the room for about 2 weeks. I wouldn't touch the wall for about a month. You know, it was pretty shocking. So I want to tell people that this has happened, but I've got two stories. I've got three stories, really. I've got one when I was younger. Well, I've got four stories. I've got one when I was younger. I've seen the spear. I've seen this tic-tac, which to me was just a white cross at the time. And now I've seen this person in my room, and I want to tell people, but I can't because no one's going to believe me, and everyone's going to think I'm a fruitcake. So there's no way I can tell people. So then about 4 weeks after that, having had that experience, I'm in the lounge, and it's about 10 o'clock at night. And I get this feeling to go into the kitchen. It's the same sort of feeling again. That feeling has come a lot of times now, and I know it very, very well. It's just like someone's telling you something to do something or go somewhere, or you know something is about to happen. So you have this feeling. I get up and go into the kitchen. And as I walk into the kitchen, about 6 foot away from me as I enter is a round gold. It's suspended in the air just above the breakfast bar at the end of the kitchen. It's gold, and I mean really, really, really bright gold. And it's rotating quite slowly. And it rotated three or four times in front of me. And it's probably about a meter tall. And it just shrank into itself, so from a circle into a pinpoint in front of my eyes, and disappeared. So it looked like a shield is the only way I can describe it. Because it had a roll on the outside part of the circle, and then it kind of went in, and then it rolled in the center. So it was like out, in, and out. So it looked like a shield, but it wasn't a shield, and it was about as weird as you could possibly imagine. But yeah, it was there, it span, it went into a pinpoint and disappeared right in front of me. I mean, it was crazy. About a week after that, I couldn't really think of anything else because it was so odd. I mean, lots of odd things happened to me, but that was really, really odd. And I kind of cleared my mind and I pictured this person that came into my room and the tic-tac. And I said to the being, you know, this is driving me crazy. You've got to tell me what that was that I saw. What I saw, or what I heard back in my mind, was that was my ship. And that was about as crazy as you can imagine also. And I kind of thought to myself, well, how can that be your ship? You know, it's not big enough to get into. But that's what I got back. That was my ship. So that was really, really odd. Anyway, about 4 weeks after that, I'm in my lounge again, sat on the sofa. And all of a sudden, there's a massive, and when I say massive, I mean like the biggest amount you could possibly imagine, of static electricity. And it is everywhere. It's thick. You could really, really feel it. And I know, of course, something's happening. And I'm thinking to myself, it's happening in the kitchen again. So I'm just about to get up and I'm just about to go into the kitchen. And I noticed where the TV was on the wall. So my TV is in the center of the room above a fireplace. And to the left, there's just paint and plaster. And to the right, there's paint and plaster. And as I go to get up, I realize that the right part of the TV on the wall is not as it should be. It's fuzzy. So instead of just being plaster and paint, nice and sharp as you expect to see on a wall, it was as if that was actually on television. So it wasn't real. It was superimposed almost. And of course, what I instantly thought was is that it's this guy again, he's back, and he's kind of looking at me through this wall with that probably the cloud apparatus activated, some kind of cloaking mechanism. He thinks that's good and he can see me, but I know for sure that he's there. So I get up and I'm using my mind and I'm saying, look, you know, I'd love to talk to you and why don't you come in and, you know, have a chat and that kind of stuff. Anyway, nothing back. It's totally stone wall. So I go to the side of the room and I put my hand on the wall or the picture of the wall anyway. And it's really fizzy and you know, you know, there's so much static there. And then that's it. I don't remember anything else. I kind of thought to myself afterwards, I just thought, well, that's the end of my day. I'm going to bed. And I've got no recollection really of what happened. I just woke up the next day, remembered everything, but was just in bed. So that was very, very odd. So after that, you know, things are mounting up. I'm starting to think, you know, they're trying to give me some kind of message or some information or, you know, something's happening. I don't know what it is, but something's happening. And it's the middle of the day, in the afternoon, probably about 2 or 3 o'clock. I've been outside. So I've come through my front door. I've walked through the hall and I'm walking into the kitchen again, which seems to be a hot spot for them. And in front of me, there's a person who is white, absolutely beautiful, really, really attractive man facing me. He's against the breakfast bar, not far from where this disc was. And I was probably about 6 foot away from him. And he was, as hard as it is for me to say this, and a lot of people just are not going to believe me, he looked just like Jesus. And he really did. He had the long flowing hair. He had the face of Jesus. If you just Google Jesus and search, that is exactly what he looked like. And he was looking towards me. I was looking towards him. And in front of him, there was a lady who was probably as tall as his shoulders. With her back to me, so I knew she was a girl, as you could tell, and he had his arm sort of down by her side. And as I walked in and stopped, as I looked at this picture in front of me, if you could imagine that he was he was in a lift, which is totally transparent, he went straight up, quite fairly quickly, but not too quick, up to the second floor, both of them, sort of as if they were in a lift, went straight up. And I thought to myself, you know, this is crazy, but I can't deal with this now. I'm busy. I've got things to do. I'm going to get on with my day, which is crazy because what I should have thought was, let's go upstairs. He's just gone into the spare room above the kitchen to find out who he is and what he wants. But I didn't think that. I thought, you know, I can't deal with it. It's just too crazy. And just went on, literally forgot all about it. It was so odd. It was one of the craziest things. But it really did happen, and I really did see it. And I don't tell anybody this story because, you know, who's going to believe it? But yeah, it genuinely happened. Anyway, so lots of things have happened. between now and then, and I've got so many stories, you wouldn't believe it. I kind of think that if I was to tell all my stories, people would literally think I was a fruitcake. And, you know, I'd be consigned to a mental hospital, so I couldn't possibly tell you other stories. But there are some things which are really interesting, which I'd like to share. So, for example, not long, maybe a month afterwards, or at least 2 weeks afterwards, lots of helicopters kept on overflying my house. And this has happened regularly for a very long time. So even in lockdown, when there was no flight and nobody was flying anywhere, I had helicopters over my house, even in lockdown. One day, I'm in around the house somewhere, and I can hear this huge helicopter noise, which is common because I hear a lot of helicopters, but this one is really, really loud. And of course, I'm thinking, you know, where is that coming? What's that? So I've come out into the back garden, and almost in exactly the same position as where the Tic Tac was, is a black helicopter hovering. He's just a little bit to the left. He's not exactly in the right position, hovering in exactly the same location as the Tic Tac. So obviously, the person in the jet would have taken some kind of coordinate or reference of where it was, or they must have known. And this black helicopter was there, hovering, maybe taking measurements or sensor readings or something crazy. And I'm there looking at this helicopter. It's all black. You couldn't see through the windows or anything. And then they hover for about a minute, knowing I was looking at them. And then they take off. But I mean, that was absolute confirmation that, you know, I wasn't just the only person who saw it. So that was good from one point of view. I mean, obviously it's real because the guy came to my house. So, you know, I'm 100% sure of that. And that's another thing to say, is that one of the reasons I came forward, I mean, I haven't really told anybody, is because everywhere I look, there's the pictures of the Tic Tac Nimitz, you know, the thing hovering and rotating and flying. And so I know what I saw was true because I saw it 6 years earlier than that video was released. So I know it's true. And everyone says, we don't know what it is. It could be Chinese, it could be Russian, it could be foreign adversary. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. But we do know what it is because I've seen it up close. And then the person who was driving it, for lack of a better word, you know, was in my house and he was not from this world. So I know through the very few interviews that I've done, but have had quite a reach because people have messaged me saying, you've got a fantastic story. I mean, we'd love to tell it, but at the moment, you know, we don't want to tell it. So you can't help but think that they're very happy for everyone for my story not to be well known, because they want people to think that it is foreign adversary or is one of ours, you know, it's the latest technology or something. But actually, it's not. It 100% isn't. So about, I don't know, maybe four years after that experience, I was in the garden again. Same sort of day, bright, sunny, bright day, same sort of time. And the sky was totally blue on the right-hand side of my garden. And on the left-hand side, it was cloudy. So there was a big bank of cloud on the left, totally bright on the right. And I had that overwhelming feeling again to look up. I'm looking up, there's nothing there. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, am I having deja vu? You know, am I reliving this experience again? But I go on doing what I'm doing in the garden, and then I have this feeling again, and it's overwhelming, and I'm scanning and I cannot see anything at all. So whether they've got the cloaking mechanism working now, and perhaps they were testing it on me, I don't know. Anyway, I ignored it. So the third time, overwhelming feeling to look up. So I look up and there's nothing there, but on the left in the cloud, I noticed there was a cookie cutter shape of a UFO, absolutely, honestly, cut out of the cloud, and you could see the blue sky through it. So imagine a massive cloud with a UFO cut out so you could see blue through. Absolutely amazing. And I think that was them basically telling me, that was us, you know, we're here, you know, you're not imagining it, you know, don't sort of go mental over this. This is all true kind of thing. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got my phone in my pocket. I want to take a picture. So I put my hand in my pocket. I get out the camera. And as I'm putting it onto to photos, you know, on my mobile phone, I want to take a picture. I get this message. this picture, this is just for you. That's why I'm here. This is just for you. And I'm thinking, all right, it's just for me. I can't take it. They don't want me to take a picture, obviously, but I want to take a picture. So I'm going to take a picture. So I'm trying to lift this phone up to take the picture, but having this kind of mental battle in my mind, thinking, well, isn't, you know, no one's going to believe you anyway. You know, why are you doing this? You know, and I hear again, this is just for you. And this kind of struggle for me to take the photograph, I eventually do take a photograph, but the cloud has moved such that you can't see the pristine cookie cutter shape of the UFO. It's almost there, but the clouds have moved. And then, so I've taken a photo, and then I find myself looking at it and thinking to myself, oh no, I can't believe it. They you know, the clouds have moved. And I found myself deleting it because I was so upset that I didn't get the shape. But I don't think that was me. And in hindsight, and having thought about it a lot since, I realized that they can absolutely 100% put commands into your mind and tell you to do things and have some kind of control over you telepathically. They can talk to you telepathically, obviously, but they can also put kind of thoughts and messages into your brain, which you think is yours, but they're not. And that was a really good example. I caught them, if you like, of them doing it, because I knew I wanted the photo, and they were basically telling me not to and putting commands into my mind not to. And then I ended up deleting them, even though I wanted them. So, I mean, that was really, really odd.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
So lots of things have happened after this experience. Usually at night time, I get woken up in the middle of the night. One time I looked up and there was no ceiling on my bedroom and there was just a black sky, all the stars, very, very bright, very, very vivid. One day I woke up and I looked to my right and the blinds were on the other side of the glass of my bedroom window. And of course, the blinds should have been on the inside of the bedroom window, not on the outside. And I remember waking up looking at that thinking, you idiots, you can't even get the blinds right because the blinds were on the wrong side of the window. And that was really, really odd. And I went straight back to sleep afterwards. I've woken up and felt some kind of laser in the top part of my leg. And I've tried to move and I've tried to, you know, find out what it was, but I couldn't move. And I was pinned down and whatever it was hitting the sort of ball joint, if you like, of my hip. I didn't know if they were repairing something or taking something or doing something. I've no idea. But that happened. And quite recently, I want to fast forward really to what's happened recently. Because my experiences don't stop. I know, you know, lots of people have experiences and it happened to them in 1976 or something and it stayed with them ever since. Well, for me, things just keep on happening. There's really no let up if I'm really honest. So this year alone, some really strange things have happened. So the first one was that in March time, we wanted to go away somewhere. It's been nice and cold in the UK and we thought we'd take a weekend away. And we can go anywhere in the whole of the UK. And of all these places, we ended up going to Tintagel in Cornwall. Well, actually, we ended up going to St. Austell, which is about an hour away from Tintagel. And we're there for, say, 4 days. And in those 4 days in St. Austell, we're planning our diary, what we're going to do. And on one of those days, just randomly, we thought we'll go to Tintagel, which is a good hour away. So on that day, so of all the places in the whole of the UK, and of all the places in Cornwall we could visit, on that particular day, on that particular time, we're walking down the high street at Tintagel. And my family and friends, but they're off somewhere else. I find myself alone. I'm actually walking down the centre of the street in the road, which is very odd. And I can't remember where everybody else was. I was walking up the street, and walking towards me was a beautiful girl. And she had like strawberry blonde, but bright hair. And she was dressed in the wrong clothes. But we're in Tintagel, and if anybody doesn't know, Tintagel is the sort of place you'd be dressed in anything, really. But I do remember thinking, wow, you know, who is this? And what is she wearing? And, you know, why is she glowing, kind of thing? And she's walking straight at me in the center of the road. And we walk past each other very closely, and I basically can't take my eyes off her. But when she passes, I'm looking forward up the road and she's gone behind me. And just as I'm thinking, you know, what is it about this girl? What is it about this woman that I can't put my finger on? I hear in my head, it's rude. Don't turn round. It's rude. And I thought, yeah, that's right. It is rude. So I won't. Anyway, so, you know, I kind of keep on thinking about this and I can't get it out of my mind. And I'm thinking to myself, what just happened? And it's like a week or two or three or four go past. And it occurs to me, I knew who this person is. And it was the girl from my kitchen where I saw the Jesus lookalike, and she had her back to me. And that's why she didn't want me to turn around, because had I seen her from the back, I would have realized it was the same person in the kitchen. And that's why. And it took me a long time to work it out, but I worked it out. So in hindsight, I should have turned around and I should have looked at her and I would have known instantly that was her. But I didn't. But it was really odd, and that was a very strange experience, and it hasn't left me at all. So, you know, that was really, really interesting. So that was in March of this year. Then in May, we're on a family holiday, and we're in Tenerife. So we're on the plane, and we're about to take off from Bristol Airport to Tenerife. And as we're just about taking off, and we're going up into the clouds, bright, sunny day, I thought to myself, it'd be really amazing if I saw the Tic Tac in the air. I wonder if they follow you. I was kind of thinking to myself, because it's such a bright, sunny day at the same time as when I saw the last craft. I wonder if they follow you. I wonder if they'll make themselves known on the flight or to Tenerife. Anyway, so this was a Saturday when we flew. So we've been at Tenerife. It's the Hard Rock Hotel. It overlooks, it's at the bottom of Mount Teide, which is the largest island in the Canaries. It's got all the telescopes and stuff on the top. It's bright skies. So it's now Friday, and I'm in the pool. And I'm looking up, and I get this weird feeling again. So it's come. You know something's going to happen. And I can hear this in the distance. Same noise as the fighter jet that went over the house, but a lot more distant, but that same noise. And I knew instantly something was happening. So I looked up, and as I looked up, the sky above me, there were two big rectangles, maybe three or four the times the size of football fields on each square. So big in the sky, two massive squares appeared, and they were darker than the rest of the sky. And there was like a channel in the center, and the Tic Tac craft appeared, went down the center between the two huge squares, did a sharp right-hand turn along the edge of another square, of the right-hand square. And as I sort of look at it and know exactly what it is and know exactly what's happening, and I'm just about to kind of think, right, what shall I say? And just as all this is happening, I blink, or I feel my eyes closing very slowly. It's very odd. And as I close my eyes very slowly, I could see it just jet straight off, just bing. And as I blink and open my eyes again, obviously, you know, it's all back to normal. I mean, that was crazy. But it absolutely genuinely happened. So that, I've seen a Tic Tac twice now. And what does it mean? Why do I see it? I have absolutely no idea. But yeah, it absolutely happened. And that was in May. And then since May, fast forward to September. So just recently, I was coming out of Yates and I was a passenger in a car. And I get this feeling again. It's probably about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And over some fields, there's a black teardrop craft suspended off the ground, probably 100 foot, probably the size of a car. And I could really feel there was somebody in there looking at me or following me or doing something, connecting with me or something. And as I look over, there's trees in my view, but the car's driving. So I'm through the trees, you could see it. And I, you know, I knew it was there and I could see it. Then we went a clearing, I could see it vividly. Then went through some more trees, so I could see it. Then went through some more trees, got through the next sort of clearing, it was gone. And that was very odd. And I actually put a post on the local UFO network saying, has anyone seen a black teardrop craft? And loads of people had. And there's loads of drawings of people who'd seen it over the last 5 to 10 years. So that was crazy. So that was confirmation again that I wasn't just the only person. And lastly, and most recently, so this is within the last couple of weeks, I was in bed. It must be about 3 or 4 a.m., dark, and I get woken up. And my body is kind of facing the window, but my head is kind of facing some large fitted wardrobes. And I noticed that on the wardrobes projected was a kind of limey green long rectangle, and just to the side of it, a sort of purpley pink color blocks, but if you like, so rectangle blocks. On the left hand one, the yellow one, there were sort of symbols and hieroglyphs, you know, not Egyptian, but odd, like squares, circles, triangles, lines, all this kind of stuff. And on the right hand side, there was less, but there were things on there. I couldn't really make them out, so I was so intrigued at looking at this yellowy limey one. And I'm looking at it, and it's quite an awkward position. This is really odd. And my neck strained almost, so it's an unnatural position. And I'm trying to actually move my body and my neck so I can be a bit more comfortable looking at these things, but I couldn't move. And I was looking at them for 2 or 3 minutes, and I remember saying in my mind, can I move now? Because this is actually not quite, this is not comfortable, and why are you showing me all this? And it was, no, you got keep watching or something like that, I heard. And I kept on watching it, and then it disappeared. And then I could move my body and I could straighten myself up and thought, my God, what just happened then? So I saw symbols and which make absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. So why bother showing me is the question. Or was it some kind of download and I was mentally taking it all in? They made me watch it. I don't know, honestly. And I tried to, at the time I said to myself, I'm going to remember these symbols. I'm going to remember as many as I possibly can, and I'm going to draw them. But afterwards, to be very honest, I can't remember them at all. I can remember the colors vividly, but I can't really remember what those symbols were. So anyway, that was my latest incident, but there are tons more, and but we'll leave it there because, you know, my experiences are literally crazy. But as far as I know anyway, I am one of the very few witnesses of the Tic Tac, and I am one of the very few witnesses who know for sure, 100%, that it's not ours, that's for sure.
That's great, David.
Good.
Now, David has been good enough to draw pictures and illustrations of all his encounters. So I'll leave a link below in the description as usual, and go check out and then have a look at some of these drawings, especially the beautiful looking Jesus.
Yeah, that is a crazy story. I haven't actually told anybody yet of real religious belief because I'm not sure what kind of can of worms I might open up. But I can honestly say, hand on heart, that is exactly what I saw.
You know, you're telling it the way, you know, the way it happened. And your experience has been up to very recently.
Yeah, yeah. The purpley pink lime green blocks with the symbols on. I mean, that was crazy. Because the thing is about that particular one is I don't know why. You know, they've woken me up. There's no natural explanation for this. This is, you know, made by someone and projected by someone. And I was set and I couldn't move and I was made to watch it. And I watched it, and the whole time I was just thinking to myself, but why, you know, what am I downloading? You know, what information are you giving me? Why can't you just talk to me? You know, that's the very frustrating thing about all of this, is that there's no two-way communication. It's just you're given something that you have to try and make sense of. you know, that's really frustrating thing about it all.
And when they would communicate with you, would you hear it as your own voice or would you hear it as another voice?
No, it's not your voice. No, they're definitely their voices. It's English, so it's not American or, you know, Indian or anything like that. It's English. It's very audible. You know, it's not outside of your ears. It's in your head 100%. There's no feeling behind the words. They just talk. But you do get their feel. I've got their feelings twice, I think, when they, you know, you can feel what they think as well. But yeah, it's, you know, I can definitely communicate with our alien friends, that is for sure.
I mean, the only reason I say, does it sound like your own voice? Because a lot of these encounters, you're given a function to do, whether it's go outside or whatever. So sometimes people hear it kind of in like an inner monologue more than anything else. And I know that kind of sounds like, you know, it sounds like a schizophrenic or something, but it's just, you know, just simply not the case.
No, it's very similar. How they do it is quite amazing, really. How do they mentally give you these words and so you can hear it? I mean, that, you know, is it technology or is it biological for them? I don't know. Although every time it's happened, you know, pretty much they've been wearing helmets. So does the helmet amplify their thoughts into you? Because when I met the guy in the bedroom and he had no helmet on and I could see him fully, there was no communication whatsoever. So therefore, does he need the helmet to talk to us? That's what I'm trying to say. Or is it just the fact that I startled him and you know, he must have thought he was wearing his camouflage, but it wasn't on and I could see him plain as day. I don't know is the answer. I don't think anyone knows. But yeah, I mean, it's very, very odd.
How old were you when you had your first encounter with the Christmas pudding-shaped object?
I was 13. And one of the things I didn't mention on that, because we went through quite quickly, is that the people in the actual craft looked like the ninja warriors. You know, what are they called? My brain's gone dead. I can't remember the name of it. In the 90s, there was the Mutant Ninja Warriors, and they were really famous.
Turtles?
No, not the Turtles, before the Turtles.
Power Rangers.
And they were Power Rangers. And the Power Rangers were, I would say, adolescents, you know, three quarters the size of a normal adult. They wore tight suits. They wore helmets. On my very first interview, by the way, my telephone almost blew up. It overheated. It went absolutely red hot.
Really?
Yeah, it's never happened ever. I mean, I've got different phones now, but it never happened before. It never happened afterwards. That was really odd. And also, about after the interview, I changed my phone and I was in the lounge with my partner and my daughter. And it was as if AI was going through my phone. Every app opened up, every picture opened up, every email I had opened up in about, you know, lightning quick. You could just see the front of the phone as if someone was going through it at the fastest rate you've ever seen, just taking all the data. It was madness.
Yeah, I've had guests before explain something very similar to that. I mean, on my mixer earlier, I've just got like an LED screen and it flickered like it is the old television sets, which is unusual. It doesn't really do that. And I haven't been looking at the record light because I've got like a record light here. So I don't know if we've lost 5 minutes or so, but that's strange. It doesn't usually stop working like that, the mixer.
Yeah, and I've had emails that I've sent to well-known UFO people that never got there. And then I thought, well, I haven't had a reply. That's really odd. So I look in my out folder and they're not in there. So I never sent them, but I did. So that's really odd. So yeah, there's lots of little things that have happened.
I can be talking with some people. It doesn't happen with every single guest, but just now and again, it would happen where I'd have the whole internet was shut down. Bad power supplies go, randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had dodgy email goings-on where I'd have, I use software on these emails. So if I send an email to someone, it will tell me when someone opens up the email.
Right.
So I'll send it because I'd get that many emails which wouldn't make its destination. So if someone reads an email, then I generally know as soon as they've read it. And I'd wake up the next day and I'd received emails overnight. But I'll get up and someone has been reading my emails. So they've already opened my emails.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't happen to me very much because I don't do very much. Definitely some odd things have happened. I've had somebody message me just completely out of the blue on Facebook asking me all these questions and about my experiences and all this sort of stuff. And then that person cannot be found ever again on Facebook. So I remember the name because I can't remember, like, it's Stuart or something like that. I can't remember what it was now. But at the time I remembered. And just totally disappeared. But it was all real. And all the communications disappeared. Person disappeared. Just really odd. Just getting information, basically, about what happened to me and, you know, when this happened, what happened then, and when that happened, what happened then. You know, real sort of detailed questions about my experiences. And then totally disappeared off the face of the earth.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, like I said, it does happen. There's certain people which are interested in this kind of thing that listen to the show. Now, when I say interest, I mean not just your average listeners. You know, they're people from wherever. You know, they definitely do listen, and they're known to listen to these shows and also go to conferences and lectures and stuff. So, you know, there is an interest somewhere, wherever you like to think they're from. But yeah, there is definitely something going on.
Yeah. So I've got the Ring cam system. So I've got one on the front door, in the house, all that sort of stuff. Because one really weird thing happened to me once. And so I got the camera straight afterwards. And then, of course, you know, you think you're being clever with cameras, but what happens is they all just go down. They just go blank. You know, so they're recording and they're on, and you've got an image of just black, and then you have to reboot them, and then it comes back together again, and you know, so I don't know if they're any good, and they could probably use them to look at you anyway, you know. But
Okay, David, I really appreciate you coming on to sharing this for our listeners.
Yeah, no worries. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. Right, take care and keep in contact. All right.
Yeah, no worries.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, David. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to David for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.